Prejudging an opponent is a sure path to making a mistake in contract negotiations. That's according to Tim Sullivan, a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn. He's authored the blog, A Government Contractor's 10 Commandments. Today, we tackle the 10th and final commandment, you shall not stereotype your opponent. Sullivan says that's one of the biggest mistakes a contractor can make.
Sometimes one of the most damaging things you can do in preparations for important meetings, and I'll call them negotiations here because so much of what we do in our contract world is negotiating. You can be beaten before you go in there if you stereotype your opponent and you figure he or she is going to act in a particular way or do particular things, and they don't. That just can totally bamboozle you when that happens. And so the lead negotiator, whoever that person is in a group, has to be very careful to cut off any discussions that indicate there are stereotypes operating and make sure, cut those off at the knees and make sure that the team understands that you have to give everybody a fair shot and a good faith opportunity to show whether they're stupid or lazy or whatever it might be. It's a very dangerous situation when stereotypes start to operate with any kind of authority.
And I guess a corollary for this would be don't go by someone's reputation in preparing to negotiate with them. Because very often the chemistry that you as an individual have with someone is totally at variance with what you might expect from their reputation.
Well, that's true. Although you've heard me talk about how you have to get the book on someone if you're going to be negotiating with them. You do have to go by the reputation to some extent. If you call around and talk to people who've dealt with him or her, you do have to get that. What I'm talking about is actually saying that, well, someone works for this company, therefore he's crooked, or he's a liar, or someone works for this agency, therefore he's incompetent. That's where you get in trouble. It's ascribing traits and characteristics to the individuals that you think the organization has. You can really get hurt that way. I saw it in action in my first couple of months as a government employee a million years ago.
Yeah, like the Defense Contract Management Agency a few years ago had some very serious and public management problems and a turnover at the top. But that doesn't mean that the individuals there and the ones you might encounter are not sharp as a tack.
That's exactly right. And if you go into, you could take your pick of agencies to get clobbered in the newspaper every day, in the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal. You know the agencies as well as I do. But if you go into a negotiation thinking that what you've read in the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post is going to be typical of the way this man or woman is going to behave, you're probably in for a surprise. You might be right, but you're probably in for a surprise.
And it's probably also true that the people in those organizations can sense when you're coming in with that attitude.
Well, actually, that's true. In this 10th commandment, I talk about how if you realize that there are stereotypes operating and you're smart enough, you can actually play those to your advantage during the negotiation. I have seen it many times. The one I use in this 10th commandment, it was something I observed as a very young and green negotiator in 1973 when this team of Texans, this company, was coming in to negotiate with our agency. And for weeks before the negotiation, where I was just going to be an observer, I heard the stories about the Texans and the drawls and the 10-gallon hats and the string ties and the boots. I heard all these stories. And then I got to sit in the negotiation, and the Texans delivered just as according right to order. And after they left, I was listening to the agency guys laughing about the folksy expressions and the aw shucks and the drawls. But later on in that contract, as it was performed over the next couple of years, I realized those Texans got exactly what they wanted out of that negotiation. It was a huge lesson for me. They played their role to the hilt. They used it to their advantage, and they were brilliant in the way they did it.
Well, I think, unfortunately, people take Southern accents and interpret them in a certain way, and that's really a dangerous one because it's a horrible prejudice, and it's not simply so. And it can be used, as you say, against you. I remember once being in a Las Vegas restaurant, in one of the casinos, and there were a whole bunch of loud people just like that. They seemed like really out of the Midwest and so forth, and who are those bumpkins? It turns out it was the whole management team of Land O'Lakes, which is one of the largest privately held corporations on Earth. They are billionaires upon billionaires upon billionaires, all in the private sector, and you would never guess it from what you would, they were probably playing a part also.
Right. I'm a Midwesterner. I was born and raised in Michigan, and I encountered these things as I grew up. My father was in the coal business and sold and did a lot of business with people from down south. And we always would have discussions about this. And he was the one who basically told me, never, never, never make the mistake of thinking that someone, because someone doesn't talk like you, they're not smart, they're not sharp. Just you cannot jump to those conclusions. And boy, I've seen that one underscored many times through this career of mine.
We're speaking with Tim Sullivan, a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn, and author of The Ten Commandments for Federal Contractors. Today's commandment is don't stereotype your opponent. And I guess sometimes, though, you might actually harbor these feelings. You know, suppose you're, you know, a Midtown New Yorker talking with a Texan. How can you overcome what you're feeling and make sure that you convey the fact that you're putting aside whatever prejudices you might come in? In other words, sometimes it's hard to overcome them because of just the way people's expressions and mannerisms are.
Well, I agree. It's a challenge. And what you have to do is you have to make a concerted effort to deal with this person or these people in good faith. Listen to what they have to say. Think about what they're saying before you respond. Understand where they're coming from. You've got to treat them in good faith. That is the number one rule here. And stereotypes can prevent us from even starting to do that when we sit down with people. So that's the way I end this commandment. It's a reminder, for example, in this world of government contracting, Tom, we have an industry with a revolving door. A man or a woman might be with a big contractor one week and be an assistant secretary of defense the next week, and then back to the contracting sector a year or 2 years later. It happens all the time. And it doesn't even have to happen at that level. It can happen at much lower levels. People go in and out of these doors in our business. Now, this particular commandment starts with the two most famous stereotypes: all government employees are stupid and lazy, and all contractor employees are liars and thieves. Now, that's ridiculous if you think that you sit down at the table. Half the people from the government used to work for industry, where presumably they were liars and thieves, and half of the industry people used to work for the government, where presumably they were stupid and lazy. That's all silly stuff. It's stupid. And you can't let those kinds of stereotypes operate. And you'll hear these operating sometimes, and you have to cut people off right at the get-go on something like that, because you're in for a shock if you think these things are actually true.
I mean, there have been negotiators on the government side. I've heard of one that said, well, why does anyone need a profit? All you should do is add up what your costs are, and that's what you should bid. But for the most part, people in contract negotiations, contracting officers, probably also have the same MBAs from the same places that people in industry do.
Well, they do. They're pretty much all college graduates. Many of them are lawyers and just decided not to practice for whatever reason. They're hard workers. Many of them have been to law school or gotten their MBA at night. They're hardworking people trying to do their job. And frankly, it's very interesting. You think about the profit discussion you just mentioned. Contracting officers know that contractors are entitled to a reasonable profit, a fair and reasonable profit. In fact, they're supposed to give it to them, because you don't want to make the experience so bad and so unprofitable that this contractor won't come back to the government sector. And so, yep, you do meet every once in a while, you'll hear about a contracting officer or a cost analyst or someone who will take that position. But by and large, that does not happen. The regulations make it clear, and all the training makes it clear, that contractors are entitled to a fair and reasonable profit. It is not a dirty word.
Now, in recent years, there are more women in the executive ranks on both the vendor side and on the government side. And sometimes there might be a default toward manners of decorum associated with women that might not be totally modern. And so sometimes someone, you know, how do you avoid trying to be what you think is polite, but is received as condescending by a female counterpart?
That's a touchy situation. I've heard many opinions voiced from many different angles on that. My feeling is you treat them in good faith, you treat them fairly, you try and you talk to them as you talk to anybody else, and try and treat them decently. Now, some people, it doesn't matter what you say to them; they're not going to be happy, and that will happen. But by and large, you just treat them fair and square, and you should be okay.